unto mercy and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. This morning, on this festive occasion, I should like to direct your attention to the words of the psalmist, which are recorded in the 100th Psalm, the 3rd through the 5th verse. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. So far, God's Word. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, we Missourians have frequently been characterized as traditionalists. I recall as a boy reading a book entitled Little Journeys with Martin Luther. It had been recommended to me by an uncle of mine who had left the Missouri Synod for another Lutheran church body. The book describes the visits of Martin Luther, Revivitus, to the various Lutheran churches in the United States. My uncle found a great deal of satisfaction in the fact that Martin Luther did not find himself at home in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I still recall how he chuckled as he related that. Parenthetically, I might add that his satisfaction should have been moderated by the fact that Luther did not find himself at home in the body of which he too was a member. In any case, according to the story, Luther had visited the synodical headquarters in St. Louis and had found himself uncomfortable with the high regard in which the members of the Missouri Synod held its leaders. Now, I suspect that the man who wrote that book, and it was written anonymously, I suspect that that man had some very real insights into the Missouri Synod. It is true that here in the Missouri Synod, we have had a very high regard for the men who have been called to positions of leadership. Witness the hold that Stephan was able to exercise over his followers. And we have held in high regard and high esteem the men who have been the leaders of our church since the days of the Saxons. It is a fact that we have almost canonized men like Walther and Pieper and Fultenhauer and Benkert. But it is not only our leaders that we have held in high regard. We have also had a very high regard for institutions. One of these is Concordia Seminary, the founding of which we are marking on this day. It was on December 9th, 1839. The classes were begun in the log cabin college that was the forerunner of this institution. That school was a far cry from the Concordia Seminary that we know, but it did represent the dreams and the hopes of the men who founded it. And it did throughout its history serve the Synod in preparing faithful pastors for the congregations of the church. This morning, I should like to direct your attention particularly to the events of 100 years ago, which are sketched for you in the service program. It was in 1881 that the convention of the Synod decided that the buildings of that day were inadequate for the challenges that lay ahead. And convention decided to raise the buildings which were then standing on South Jefferson Avenue and to build an entirely new seminary campus. What is particularly significant is that that decision was reached at the very convention which resolved the greatest doctrinal controversy to strike the fledgling synod. The election controversy, which was finally settled by the adoption of the 13 Theses, which outlined the synod's understanding of what Scripture taught on that controverted subject. Now, those were difficult times, very difficult times, because they pitted brother against brother, clergyman against clergyman, pastor against people, layman against layman. The hurts of that controversy ran deep indeed. It was the end of the Founding Fathers' dream to establish in the United States a single confessional Lutheran church which would remain loyal to God's Word. It was the end of that dream because those involved in the controversy ostensibly held to that Word of God and claimed to be living according to it. But what is especially significant is that that very convention, which reached a settlement of the controversy, that at that very convention the decision was made to lengthen the stakes, to expand the facilities for theological education, to build an entirely new seminary complex. The fathers of the church were convinced that even though the experience through which they had passed had been a very traumatic one, they had, in resolving it, vowed to God's word, and they were following his will. They were convinced that for that reason, God's blessing would certainly rest upon them. And so they resolved to move ahead with the building of a new seminary complex, which then became the immediate predecessor of the facilities which we know 100 years later. And so today, we thank God for the vision, the foresight, the courage, and the determination of the men who founded this training school of the prophets. We thank God for their loyalty to that word of his. We thank God that in the midst of the difficulties they encountered, they trusted in his promises and were willing to plan for the future. Is there not a striking parallel between 1881 and 1981? Is it not true that we are gradually emerging from a serious doctrinal controversy? And are we not called to face the future with the same courage and the same determination that our fathers faced it with 100 years ago? Above all, though, should we not go forward with the same promise that they knew, the promise of the psalmist, which echoed also in their ears? Know that the Lord is God. He has made us, and we are his own, his people. Yes, we do indeed honor those men who have been our leaders. And we honor the institutions which they founded and established. We honor these men in the sense that they were simul justus et warts and their blemishes, but so do we. We honor them because they found the forgiveness of their sins and salvation in the same Jesus Christ that we have come to know. And so we canonize them in the good sense because they are indeed the saints of God, just as you and I can properly claim that name through Jesus Christ. They were motivated to bring that same gospel of forgiveness to all people and to preach it to the ends of the earth. And it was for that purpose that they founded this school. We do well, then, today to honor our leaders and to honor this institution which they founded. We do so really not to honor them, but to thank God for the blessings He has seen fit to bestow upon His church through them. We also look forward to the future, not for the glory of men, but for the glory of God. And we look to that future with confidence. God has been good to us. And it is for that reason that we can enter His gates with thanksgiving and give Him thanks. The fact that He has been good to us and our fathers in the past is the down payment on His promises that He will continue those blessings to us in the future. Know that the Lord is God. He has made us. We are His own, His people, the flock which He shepherds. Let us then, as we look to the future, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. The Lord has indeed been good. He is good to us, and He will be good to us in the future, for His love is everlasting.